Okay, hello everybody. Matthew 4:7 today. So Jesus answered them. Jesus answered him. It is also written, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." And Jesus declared to him that it's been written. That's what it says. Jesus declared to Satan that it's written, which means it's engrafted in him, to be accomplished in his career, it says, okay? That it points out the righteousness of the law, that the scriptures stand. That's to give information and directions to one, to bid one to do a thing, and to mark. It says, "You shall not test." Going to improper measures which exceed appropriate boundaries and pushing the one tested beyond reasonable and proper limits. It's to, you shall not test is, shall not test somebody who is, shall not test a word which is wholly biblical, completely biblical, okay? It says you shall not test a word that is wholly or thoroughly and fully and completely biblical. Amen. That's what it's saying. And Jesus, it says that he declared to Satan, so it has been written. It means it's been engrafted to make him completely and wholly the word who is biblical. Okay, and 1 Corinthians 10:9 says, "Neither should we test the Christ, as some of them tested and then they were killed," and which means to be destroyed, or it means that I am perishing, so they are perishing. Or they were killed by snakes or serpents, violently and completely perish, it says. That they were completely and violently perish implies a permanent destruction, to remove and to cause to be lost or perish by experiencing a miserable end, completely cut off by one's conduct to cause another to lose eternal salvation, to be blotted out and to vanish. That's what it's talking about. Okay, so the same word where you shall not test, going to improper measures which exceed appropriate boundaries. Same word used in 1 Corinthians 10:9, neither should you test the Christ. As some who have tested the Christ were killed, they were destroyed, completely cut off permanently in destruction by snakes and serpents. Okay? Or another translation says by snake bites. So it has been written means it's been accomplished in his career. That's exactly what it means. The righteousness of the law and causing the scriptures in the Old Testament to stand in him, the word made flesh, the Old Testament scriptures being made to stand, so upright. The law is still upright inside of Jesus Christ, okay? So to be made upright, we're inside of Jesus Christ. Outside of Jesus Christ, the scriptures still stand, the law still stands. But apart from Jesus Christ, you can do nothing, it says. Okay, because he's the one that's upright. He's the one that's upright and he's upheld the righteousness of the law. He's marked with it. He's engraved with it. And we're in him, therefore we're engraved with it. We're engrafted. We've made to stand up and fulfill the law. Be made righteous of the law. And then he says, "Do not test. You shall not test. Do not use measures which exceed appropriate boundaries. Don't push the one tested beyond reasonable proper limits." Those in Christ. Amen. So serpents in a snake that means somebody who's used by the devil. A sly, cunning, and artful, and a malicious person. Okay? So he says, "Neither should we test the Christ." So don't test the authority or the power or his character or himself at all. Don't come against the Christ is what he's saying. As some of them who did test him, they were killed by people used by the devil, snakes and serpents, people used by the devil, or the devil uses them. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10:7 says, do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written. And it says that the people sat down to eat and drink, and they got up to indulge in revelry, which means to play, or it means to be childish. But he says there, don't be idolaters, because some people became idolaters after they had already sat down to eat and drink. What are they eating and drinking? They're eating and drinking the law, the Christ, partaking of the table, the priesthood, the bread, the manna, and the wine. They're eating and drinking, so they've sat down to eat and drink. And once they've eaten and drinking the law, Christ, then they get up and they want to go and play childish games and become childish again. They're reveling, they're acting, and it says that neither should we commit sexual immorality, as some of them who committed sexual immorality, they fell in one day, 23,000 people in one day. Okay? So he says don't put anything, that's why he says don't put anything before the Christ. Okay, neither, 1 Corinthians 10:8, should not commit sexual idolatry, which means to prostitute one's body to the lust of another, to permit oneself and to be drawn away by another into idolatry. So to permit oneself to be drawn away, don't allow yourself, it says, don't permit oneself, yourself, don't permit yourself to be drawn away by another person out into idolatry. It says unlawful sexual intercourse, and also to be unfaithful to Christ, which is while posing as his true believer. 1 Corinthians 10:10 says, and do not grumble, as some of them who did, they were also killed by the destroying angel. Grumble means to be discontent. Okay, discontent. Discontent with the Christ, the Messiah. So we go looking for an idol, something else to entertain us, because he's not enough, right? And he says this is a problem and it's dangerous and you need to watch for this. He says that they sit down and they eat and they drink, and then they get up and they want to go and play like a child still. So they're rejecting maturity. They're rejecting the law, because they're eating and drinking of the law. They're hearing the word. They're receiving instruction and they're going against that, and they want to continue being childish and immature. And that is sexual immorality in the spirit, because it's unfaithfulness to Christ. So it's already become intercoursing with other things. You're being one with. That's what intercourse means. It means to be one with or to be enjoined with. So whatever it is you're intercoursing with or enjoined with, okay, it doesn't matter what it is, anything. It can be anything. It's become your idol, okay? And it causes you to be sexually immoral and unfaithful to the Christ, okay? Which causes you, it says, those who do, because what it does is it takes you away from him, okay? And then it says that 23,000 fell in a day, okay? So he says it's unlawful sexual intercourse. Why? To be unfaithful to Christ while posing as a true believer. So you're posing as a true believer, yet your lifestyle doesn't represent that. It doesn't reflect that. You're one with other things and not one with Christ in your behavior. So first, because you're still childish and wanting to go play and revel into all different types of stuff, okay? So 1 Corinthians 10:10 says, don't grumble, which means don't be discontent. Otherwise, you'll be killed by the destroying angel, as some others did. So the destroyer there means to be a venomous serpent and a ruiner. The word ruiner. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10:11 says these things happened to them as examples. They were written down as a warning, which is counsel for us, for those of the culmination of the end of the age. So he says these things are documented in the scriptures so that we could have some counsel or to have a warning about what happens. And listen, it's not saying, hey, you do this, this is what's going to happen to you. This is saying, hey, this is what happened to these people, 23,000 of them. We witnessed it. It was an experience. We've seen it. It's documented for evidence, for your own example, to show you something that if you do it too, you might be the 23,000 or 24,000, okay? So listen to this. He says a type. So that, now it's written down as a type. It's an example, which means it's a type. It's a pattern, a model of pattern, a pattern of behavior. A pattern which is reliable and precedent for others. It brings a judicial proceeding. This is a principle which I have often judged, a right example to others. So this principle of this sexual immorality, of having other things, before eating and drinking from the table of the Lord, eating and drinking the word, becoming and being joined and part of the body of Christ, and then getting up from the table to stop eating and drinking and to go and play with other things in the world. Okay, you're not of the world, you're in it, you're not of it, you're not to be of it, you be consecrated, you're meant to be set apart, you're meant to come away, you're meant to deny yourself, pick up your cross, you're meant to sacrifice your childish ways and grow up and become a mature Christian by sitting and staying at the table and eating and drinking instead of getting up and wanting to go play. You know, that's what he's saying. Those who got up to go play fell in the day. 23,000 died. Because why? What does it mean? Because the eating and the drinking is the authority. The eating and the drinking is partaking of his body. The eating and the drinking is what's going to energize you and make you mature, make you stand up, because he's the one that makes you stand. So when you stop eating and drinking, you fall, because he is the drink. He is the bread. I am the bread of life, right? I am the river of life. I am the fountain, I am the living waters. You need to eat and you need to drink of me. And if you don't, but when you do, you're made to stand up. That, and when you get up from, when you eat and drink a little bit and then you think, oh yeah, that's enough, and off you go and you start playing back out in the world. And, you know, he calls it childish, because you haven't, if you were mature and you were grown up, there's no way you'd get up from the table and leave the food. You wouldn't get up and leave the drink and you wouldn't stop eating and drinking, because you know what happens to you when you do that, because you've experienced a fall, okay? And that's what he's saying. He says, so this was documented as an example so you can see and have a warning of what happens when you do it. Now listen to this. Now he says it's at the end of the age. This is for those who are at the end of the age. Well, the end of the age is what? It's the principle, the end of a principle. It's the end of a, it's to bring the end goal purpose. It's the closure and with all its results, okay? And it's to make something finished. So that's the end of the age, right? It means telly, but the age, the word age is a space of time. It's an era. It's the old. It's actually from when you're before you're born again. The old you. That's the end of the age. The old you in the Old Testament under the law, not in Christ. So you haven't been made to stand because you can't fulfill the law. But in Christ, he's fulfilled the law. It's written on him, engraved in him, engrafted in him. And it's now it's made the law stand up in an upright place. So now we're in Jesus. We're made to have fulfilled the law. We've been made righteous by fulfilling the law, because we're inside of Christ who makes us stand up. Okay, so that brings us to into the new age, which is a newer age, it says in the Bible. Okay, we're no longer in the old age under the law, not being able to fulfill it, not being able to stand up, being under condemnation and continuously at the hands of the devil. Okay. So when you stand up from that table and you stop eating and drinking, you've come out of Christ because he's the drink and he's the bread. So you've come out of Christ, which is you've now come out of Christ and back into the law, which you can't fulfill. So again, you're under the hands of Satan because you can't fulfill it. Okay, the only way you can fulfill it is to come back into Christ and to eat and drink again. Continue to eat and drink and feed yourself on the word and on the river of life and on the spirit. Amen. All right, and so then it says that the age is, as I said, space of time. It's an era. It's the old era. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the devil who rules the thoughts and deeds of the men of this age. The same word age is used in that scripture too. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the devil who rules the thoughts and deeds of the men of this age. It's talking about anybody who is not born again, their mind, their thoughts and their deeds are ruled by the devil, okay, who is sly, cunning and an artful and malicious person. Okay, it says 1 Corinthians 2:6, such wisdom, the same word age again is used here, 1 Corinthians 2:6, such wisdom belongs to this age, full of error, arrogant and hostile to the gospel. So the old age, which is the when you're born again, you're at the end of the age, right? Consummation of the age or culmination of the ages. Okay. So you're coming out of that wisdom, which that wisdom is error, arrogant and hostile to the gospel. That's the wisdom of this age, where you can't get away from it. Now, he says there that it's a wicked generation, that this age is a wicked age. This age is a wicked generation. So they're wicked, sly, cunning, under the devil, not born again, under the law, not in Christ. There's only two. Under the law, wicked generation, old age, in Christ, newer age, made to stand, righteous and grace. Okay? Out of Christ, they're subject to the law, which they can't fulfill because they're not perfect. And it can't be fulfilled. And the devil knows that. Okay. So he controls their thoughts and he controls their deeds. It's the god of that age, the god of this world. That's what the Bible says. It's their God. Their God is not Jesus. They don't want him. Okay? They choose other things, idols, sexual immorality, revelry. They want to play, they want to eat, drink, then they get up and they go play. But, okay, my sheep know my voice and we keep going. Here we go. And then he says, so they're men controlled by the thoughts and the pursuits of this present time. Okay, that's the same word age again. Men who are controlled by the thoughts and the pursuits of this present age. So they're now controlled, they're also controlled by the thoughts and the pursuits of what's of this world. That's what controls their thoughts and that's what controls their deeds, their pursuits. Amen? That's what it's saying. When you're in Christ, well, that changes. And we see that. Now, he says, here's an example. Here's an example of what the new age looks like, the future age. Okay? It's the newer age, it says. So if you want to go look it up, you can see it in, you can go to 1 Corinthians 2:6. And look up the word age and go and do a little search on it. So Christians live in the newer age. So Christians who live in the newer age, which is a newer age or a few of space and time. It's talking about eternity. Okay, so born again because Christ is eternal. Born again, now we're in Christ. So now we're in eternity because that's who he is. He's eternity. So now we're not confound by space and time. Because we're in eternity with him. So we're in the newer age. and we're in also what the future age is. Okay? So the new period of time is called the New Testament. That's the New Covenant. The new period of time, which is the newer age, the newer period of time is the New Testament. Okay? It's characterized by Christ baptizing all believers into his mystical body. So 1 Corinthians 12:13. And with all the marvelous privileges that go with that. Okay? Engrafted. Again, baptizing all of his believers into his mystical body. Engrafted into Christ. Jesus says, it is written, meaning everyone in this age is subject to the law. They're not under grace. They're not in the New Testament, the New Covenant, the newer age. They're in the older age, which is ruled by the law. Okay? 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Okay? So if you think means forming an opinion. Having a personal opinion. Personally means having anything to do with you. That you've done it. A personal judgment. So if you think, so forming the opinion that you have caused yourself to stand. Stand means to establish and uphold or to cause a person or a thing to be kept in its place. Okay? Cause one to make his appearance faultless before. That's what it says in Jude 1:24. It's talking about causing one to make his appearance faultless, to have escaped safely, standing unharmed, so as not to fall from faith. So he's saying, he says, these things happen to them. They are examples, and they are written down as a warning for us on the end, for the culmination of the end of the age. Okay, so that's why it's written. Don't grumble, don't be discontent and a murmurer. Okay, otherwise, these people who grumbled and were murmurers and discontent, they were destroyed by a destroying angel, who's a ruiner. Causes them to be ruined, brings and ruins everything around them. That's what they do. Okay? And then it says, don't commit sexual immorality. Don't physically do it. Don't have unlawful sexual intercourse. And also don't be unfaithful to Christ while posing as a true believer. Because posing as a true believer and then being unfaithful to Christ, you're a witness. Okay, don't do those two things. Those people is a strong warning. It says that it's written down for the culmination of the age, which means that old, that's what's going to be gone. That's the old that's going to be passed away. That's the old that's going to be done with. There'll be no more of that sexual immorality. There'll be no more idolatry. There'll be no more grumbling when you're in Christ. You can be sure that if that's present, that is about to be taken. If that's present in your life, you can be certain that that is about to be taken because the old is done. The old has passed away, the new has come, okay? So that is about to be taken and you're about to be made upstanding, upright in Christ where there is no more grumbling, there's no more sexual immorality, there's no more unfaithfulness, it's only faithfulness to Christ. There's only purity to Christ. There's no idols. There's no idols before him. And you're content, not grumbling. Okay? Sure sign you're in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Next, it says, okay, so then let him take heed of this. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Be careful means to take heed, perceive, be watchful. Possessed of sight and having power of seeing and to be able to discern what is seen in the non-physical realm as a person can then take the redeemed action, okay, by taking it into the spirit. Listen, it says take heed means to be able to perceive and to be able to watch for this stuff now. So possessed of sight. He's saying, watch for this stuff. If you think forming an opinion of yourself, believing that somehow you've made yourself what you are, you've made yourself stand, you've established yourself, you're upholding yourself, right? You're causing yourself to be kept in your place. You're doing it all with all of your skill and all of your wisdom and all of your ability and all of your dedication and all of your resources. You're making this happen, right? And when you think like that, he says, be careful. Watch for that to come up in you. Be open. Be full of sight. Have the power of seeing and discerning this stuff in yourself. This isn't about judging others. This is about discerning this behavior in ourselves. Why? Because it caused us to fall. That's what he says. Take heed. Be watchful. Be watchful. If you are starting to believe that somehow you're the one doing all this, somehow you've craftily and maliciously made all this for yourself, be careful, be mindful, because lest you fall. And lest you fall means to be overcome by terror and astonishment and grief. Okay? To fall means to be overcome by terror, astonishment, grief. To fall from a state of uprightness or uprightness, to fall from a state of uprightness to sin, or fall into a state of wickedness. Okay? What it's saying is, as soon as you take your eyes off Jesus and you stop thinking and knowing that it's him, and you start to think that you're doing it, you start to form an opinion of yourself, like it says in Jude, that you start to, where is it? Where's my Jude? Jude, is it on the front? No. Jude 1:24, is it? Wondarakarasando. Can't be. Is it over here? It is too. Cause one to make his appearance faultless. Okay? So as soon as you start to, it was right under it. I hadn't got there yet. Forming an opinion and starting to think or starting to care or starting to cause and make your appearance faultless, like you're trying to make out on the outside your appearance that you're faultless, that you're good and you're perfect and you're doing all the right stuff and everything's good and that you've escaped safely and, you know, you're protecting yourself so you're not going to be unharmed by the way that you're appearing, okay? He says that's even that, when that starts to happen inside of you, be watchful for that and perceive that stuff, okay? All right, watch for that stuff. Watch for that stuff. He says, what happens is you fall from a state of uprightness to sin, or you fall from into a state of wickedness. Why? Because to lose authority, it means. To fall means to lose authority. No longer have force, removed from power by death. Miss a share in the messianic kingdom. So if you think you're standing firm, you're doing it because of your skill and effort. It teaches us in the Bible that apart from him, we can't do anything. So we don't make ourselves stand. He does. He comes into us. We come into him. We're in him. He's in us. And because of his standing, we're standing. When he's out of our body, we're down, crouching beast, okay? 1 Corinthians 10:13, the temptations in your life are no different to what others experience. And God is faithful, and he will not let the temptation be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Temptations mean afflictions, trials, experiment, approving, and integrity. Okay? He says that you're going to also have these. You're not no different. Okay, these are in your life are no different to what others will experience. The difference with you is, now he says the temptations in your life, that these afflictions and trials come when we lose our authority. We only lose our authority when we believe that we're causing ourselves to stand and we're worried about our appearance on the outside and we're trying to make ourselves be faultless or to look faultless, that him standing in us is not enough for us to look and appear a certain way, that we begin to think we need to make ourselves appear a certain way. And what that actually does is it doesn't make us stand, it makes us fall. Okay? So if you think you're standing, right? And then he says those temptations, those afflictions, those trials, which are a result of falling. Don't worry, he says, yes, that might happen, but I will make an escape for you. I'll make a way out. The escape means an exit or a result of an outcome, which is the Lord's outcome. So the Lord's outcome, he will make an escape so he achieves his outcome. The Lord's outcome, okay? And he will make you endure, which means to be carried safely away from danger. So even though you're tempted, even though you come under afflictions and trials and experiments to improving in integrity, in this sense where you've been made to fall into a state of wickedness, you've come under a state of terror because we haven't taken heed, we haven't been watchful, and we've allowed ourselves to form an opinion on ourselves. We're judging ourselves and we believe that we've got something to do with why we're standing and why we're established, right? We've made ourselves and our appearance look faultless because we're established and we care about all that. He says, well, when that happens, we've taken our eyes off and we fall. The afflictions and the trials will be used to bring the Lord's outcome. And the Lord's outcome is to what? To be standing again, to be uprising, upstanding in the Lord, okay? So he will use the afflictions and the trials to bring you back to himself so you're made to stand again. Okay, that's what he's saying. Okay, and then he says, and that's a promise. So the promise is you won't be destroyed like the wicked who are the old age. Okay, so he says our promise that we can hold on to is that we're going to be safely carried away from danger and we're going to be brought back into the Lord, which is the Lord's outcome, and we're going to be restored and we're going to be made to stand again and we're going to come back into our authority, and that we're going to no longer, that we'll have again, we won't be removed from power, and that we will inherit the messianic salvation, the messianic kingdom, okay? That's the promise. When a temptation comes or an affliction, a trial, because we've taken our eyes off him and we've thought that we've got something to do with this, that we've established ourselves, okay? And then he says, so therefore, beloved, flee from idolatry, which is image worship. So he says it in the next scripture. Flee from idolatry. So this is Paul's like, please, beloved, so trust me, flee from idolatry. This isn't worth it. It's painful. You don't need to go through these afflictions, trials, and experiments. So the answer for it is to flee from idolatry, which is image worship, okay? Worshipping an image. We're worshipping the image of ourselves, our appearance, caused to make his appearance faultless, Jude 1:24. Are we making our appearance faultless on the outside? So we're worried about if we've got some faults and people are going to think about us in a particular way, and we're trying now to establish faultlessness in us, which is going back into the law because we couldn't fulfill that anyway. So we come out of Christ. We come out away from that authority because we've already said that he's made us perfect and he's established us, right? And that's what he's saying. So once you come out of Christ and you begin to do your own effort, you're falling again, and then that's when the afflictions and the trials come. Why? Because you fell out into the law. You fell into a state of wickedness. You fell from being made to stand up in Christ, get an image for it. So we've got the man, we've got the body, Jesus standing there, and just get an image of you standing inside of his body. Okay, and then what happens is, so you're in the perfect Christ, you're standing, you're in authority, Satan comes, you're speaking authority, everything's good, you're just walking, you're achieving your purpose, and then you forget for a minute you're inside of Christ, because you've just done all this good work. Everything's happening out here. You're healing people. Everything's going great. And then all of a sudden, your eyes are on what you're doing and you forget you're inside of him, and you forget the reason you're doing all of that is because you're inside of him. Okay, so then you put your eyes all on the stuff that you're doing out here all of a sudden, and it's like you take a step out into the stuff because you want to go. You're like, oh, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and you completely forgot that you're in him, and you've stepped out of him. And as soon as you step out of him to try to make something change and to fix this and to make this, and all of a sudden now you're out here under the law. Okay, because the only safe place is inside of him. So as soon as you take a step out, even because you've just completely got so encompassed with all the great stuff you're doing, you can even do it like that. And you step out straight into trials, because the whole thing out there is under trial. The whole thing out there is affliction. Everything out there is under judgment. The only safe place is standing inside of Christ himself. Get a picture for it. Human body, here he is standing there, and we're standing inside of him. Take a step out of the body, and you're it's like you're stepping directly into sin, hell, afflictions, trials, blah, blah, blah. But we completely forget, because we're all of a sudden, we've just got so busy, or we've just forgotten, okay? And we take a step out, and then we're under all this trauma, we're under all this affliction. And he says, that's because, how did we forget? Why did we forget that we're standing up in Christ and we're inside his body, and we're all of a sudden we're focusing all the great stuff? Now, we've done all this beautiful stuff, helped people, saved people, talked to people, done amazing things out here. How did we forget and take a step out? Because we stopped eating and drinking. We stopped eating the word and we stopped drinking the word. We stopped being in the word, okay? It's the eating and drinking that keeps us standing inside of his body. As soon as you stop eating and drinking, it's like kind of, get a picture for it, that he's kind of dissolving on the outside of us because we're not sustaining him. Okay, he's a spirit being, like a light body, and he needs to be energized and powered by the word of God. And if we're not powering by the word of God, if we're not eating the word of God, and it's powering our outside light body, who's the Christ, because we're standing inside of him, then the lights go out. And because we're not giving it any energy, so it starts to wither away, and all of a sudden, whoa, we just take a step out and we forget. And what else it causes us to forget is that our eyes are now on the world, which is that sin and the affliction. We're out here in the world, and that's like a great delusion. It puts you under a spell. You know, it's like the spell of Babylon, like you forget all of a sudden that, whoa, I forget who I am, and you get delirious, and you're like you're in the wilderness, you're like walking blind, leading the blind, you're in the dark, you don't know where you're going, you're under affliction, trials, and you come under terror, it says, and you come under, what else does it say? Terror and astonishment and grief. Right, because of the trials, because of the affliction, because of all that stuff. So you're out there and you're like, ah. And he says, it does feel like punishment and judgment. He says the way you get back into Christ is you eat and drink again. And as you eat and drink, eat and drink, eat and drink, you soon, your light body's coming back, the Christ is coming back on the outside, you're standing up, your head's, the crouching beast is gone, you're lifting your heads up, lift up your heads, you gates, and let the King of Glory come in. Okay, and you're lifting your head and you're standing up again and you're getting strong and you're getting energized. And so your spirit's getting energized, and then the Christ who you're standing inside is getting energized because you're feeding him, and the light's coming back and the power's starting to buzz and you're starting to feel it all around the outside of you again. Why? Because you're eating and you're drinking. Okay? And then he says, the remedy is, keep eating and drinking, and the other remedy is take heed, be watchful, be possessed of sight. How do we be possessed of sight? Eating and drinking, staying in the word, staying in the light body inside of Christ. Okay? Don't take your eyes, don't forget that part of stuff, because if you do, what happens? You remember, you've just been there, you've been out there in the dark. What am I doing? You're focusing all this, and that stuff makes you blind. And you die, okay? The lights go out. You feel like you're dead. That's what happens. All right, but never fear. Jesus is here, he says. He's out there and he sees what's happening for you and you belong to him. And so he's going to make a way for you, is what he says. I'm going to carry them away safely, patiently, okay? And they won't be destroyed like the wicked. Now, who's destroyed? The wicked. Why? Because they're outside of Christ. They're outside of that light body of Christ. They're out there. They're eating in the table of sin, which is the table of the world. And that's what they eat. And it keeps them blind. It keeps them in delusion. It keeps them in terror, astonishment. It keeps them in grief. Okay? They're not interested in the Lord's outcome. So they've not come into Christ. They're not interested in the newer age. They like the old way of doing things. They won't do it the new way. So they stay in that, right? So he makes an escape and an exit for us who do fall and get into temptation. But he makes an exit, an escape for us to achieve the Lord's outcome, which is the only reason an escape is provided is to bring you into Christ, back to Christ where you belong because you got lost, okay? So, therefore, beloved, flee from idolatry is what Paul says. Flee from it. Don't go there. Don't allow it. It comes in. You all of a sudden, it's before God and idolatry comes in and we just know how hard it is when you fall and to come back from that. Okay, thank you. He says, if you think you stand, because one to make his appearance, okay, which is a false god. Okay, image worship is a false god, which can even be yourself. You can be your own false god because you're worried about your appearance. Worried about them, okay? All right. Now, it comes from the word ikapiro, kapiros, razo. And it means to put to test. And it means, this means actually to come out from and to. Okay? So to put to test, which means, you know, don't test the Lord your God. Don't put him to the test. That word comes from ekipirazo. And that actually means to come out from and go to. Out from and to. Now that actually means out from the midst of a group, a number, a company, a community. Going out from your community of many leading yourself out and choosing to remove yourself and removing yourself, it says. That's what it says. So to put to the test is another thing. It comes from that word. So to put to the test means to don't put the Lord God to test. Don't test the Lord God because it means that you're going to go out from him. Into a test, into a trial. You're going out from, don't go out from your community. Don't go out from your company. Don't go out from your group. That's what it's saying. Stay with your group because you're engrafted with each other. Amen? Don't remove yourself from your group. Stay with your group. That's what he's saying there. Okay, that's another thing. There's many layers to the scriptures and that's what that is right now. Okay, so don't go out from the group, don't go out from the company, don't go out from your community. Stay, okay? Don't go out from and to a test. Don't go out from your community and to a trial. That's what it means. Ekipirazo, put to test. Out from and to. Out from your company, out from your community, out from your group and to a test, to a trial. To an affliction. Okay, that's what he's saying when you remove yourself. Okay? And the enemy knows that. The enemy knows if he can get you to go out from your company, your community, your group, which takes you out of the body of Christ, because not only are you in the Christ, your picture, you're inside of the body of Christ. Put you all inside of Christ and make him really big and the whole lot of you, your whole group, 8, 10 of you are all standing inside of the Christ together, much stronger, much more powerful. One falls, you're like, what are you doing? Get up, right? Where are you going? No, we don't do that. We don't do that. You don't do that, right? We help each other. You keep each other sharp. Brother, iron sharpens iron, okay? He says, but if you... And you're going to be corrected and you're going to be told, no, you can't sin. No. Why? Because sin's going to take the Christ down around from out of us, all of us. It's going to turn our light off. And we're not going to turn our light off and die because you want to sin, right? And so you will start, and then it says that you might, you know, get snake bites because of this, it says. What's it say? It says, did I read that bit? Snakes? Yeah. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Okay. So he says, don't test the Lord your God, because they're wholly biblical, or it's the words being made biblical. So they're biblically inside of the Christ, and they're only inside of the Christ because they're biblical, okay, which means they're up in right standing. And they're not going to be cut off. They're not going to be utterly destroyed, okay? And he says that those who do test, which means those who go out from the group, go out from the Christ into an affliction, into a trial, they are completely cut off and destroyed by the serpent, who is the which is somebody used of the devil. So they go out and then they get used by the devil. Yeah. And the devil knows that. That's why the devil tries to get you out from the group, out from the community, out from the company. Because once he gets you out, then you've fallen into the state of wickedness. You've fallen into his world, which is ruled by the law, which you can't fulfill. There is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. What he's saying, there's no save. You can't be saved. You've got to be inside of Jesus Christ. Okay? And so if you don't know how to stand in Jesus Christ on your own, you need your group. You need your community. You do. You need them because they teach you. You teach each other. You keep each other sharp. You teach. You keep each other accountable. You're growing each other, okay? You keep each other strong and sharp and safe. But as soon as you go out from that, the devil knows. You've gone out. You've come under the destroyer, the serpent, okay? And then what happens? You start to be used by the devil while you're out there, because that's only out there, outside of Christ, is only used by the devil, the whole world, okay? That's what he says, wicked generation. That's that age. It's the old age. You don't fall from the new age back into the old age. That's what he's saying. And so the devil knows, and how does the devil do it? Listen, it says when they're in the old age, because you've tempted, the devil uses their thoughts and their deeds. And he uses their thoughts, and he's the god of their deeds. Okay, so he causes the offense so you can go out. Because if he can cause the offense and cause you to turn on your brother or your sister, because inside of Christ, you're still just, you know, fresh snakes, really. You're used by the devil out there in the world. You come into Christ. Yesterday, used by the devil, snakes. Today, righteous, beautiful, inside of Christ. But have to now get your mind renewed so you stop acting like a devil. So you stop acting like a serpent. So you stop acting malicious and sly, is what it says. That's what a devil is, sly and cunning and a malicious person, artful, okay? So yesterday used by the devil as a snake out there in the old world, outside of Christ. Today, revelation, beautiful, I'm coming back into Christ. I want my authority back, I want my group back, I want my life back. You come back into Christ, but you're coming back in as a snake. I mean, you just were a snake yesterday. Today you got to get cleaned up. Bible says, if a man asks for a fish, do I give him a snake? No, we don't give Jesus snakes, we give Jesus fish, Christians, okay? So you come into the body of Jesus, into your group, and you got to stop being a snake. Otherwise, what's going to happen is you're just going to bring a manifest, or, you know, be like the destroying angel that causes death, and it says you behave like the wicked, which is a ruiner. You ruin things, ruin everything. Because that's all you can do as a snake, okay? So we need to come into the body, and we need to learn to zip it for a while, and we need to grow up. which is stop being childish. We need to sit down at the table and we need to learn to eat and drink. And we eat and drink, eat and drink, eat and drink until we become mature and stop acting like a snake. But if you're going to continue to act like a snake, sly and malicious, you're not eating enough. Okay? That's because you're not doing what you're meant to do. So we're inside of the law. And if you're in a real community where Christ really is the Christ, you will eat and drink and you will change. You can't not. Okay? Because he controls. All right? So we forgive over and over and we make it easy for those who have gone out, who've been tempted, put to the test and gone out from the body and into an affliction, into a trial, into the world of the devil, into the world, into sin, into wickedness. We don't make it hard for them to be able to come back. We humble ourselves to let them come back. Why? Because if they don't, the Bible says that they're completely cut off forever, violently, completely, permanently destroyed in destruction, removed, caused to be lost and perish forever with a miserable end by one's own conduct to cause another to lose eternal salvation and to be blotted out and to cause to vanish. That's what it says. Okay, so we have to make it so they can come back, because if you don't, even though you're not wrong, you're right because you're upstanding and you're right in Christ. They're wrong. They're the ones that went in to put themselves to the test. They're the ones that went out. They are wrong. But you humble yourself for their sake so they don't die. You humble yourself so they don't perish and are destroyed forever. Okay, they can't humble themselves because they're in the snake. That's pride. They can't humble themselves in the world. It's impossible. He doesn't allow it. He's Satan. There's no humility in the world. There is no humility in Satan in the law out there. Okay? Not until they come into Christ and into the body, get the picture, standing now inside of the Christ with the light around them. Now we're shining light, we're shining light, we're shining light, we're feeding, we're energizing. They're growing up, they're getting stronger in their spirit, snake skin's coming off. Little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit. Okay? And all of a sudden they're rejoined back to the body and forgiven and not cut off from and with the destroyer anymore. Okay? They actually can inherit now salvation. They can actually now be plugged in. That's how it is. Okay? And that's how we have to keep being. And we have to do this because the world is, it's worse and worse. And we can't be prideful leaders who are going to say, nope, you did the wrong thing. They're kids. They're children, immature Christians. They don't understand. They don't understand how to eat and drink. They don't understand any of this stuff. And so for the sake of our ego, or for the sake of our deserved honour, are we going to let them stay out there and be destroyed forever, eternally cut off? Or are the leaders going to humble themselves, right, and turn the other cheek? And continue to forgive and to allow them to come in so they're not cut off for eternity because of lack of wisdom, because of deception, because of lack of training, you know? No. All right. But in saying that, you can also have to continue to correct the snake nature so it doesn't infect and cause the rest of the people in the community, in the group, to perish because one fails to eat and drink and mature. Okay, if everyone's eating and drinking and they're growing up and they're maturing, then it will be strong. But if some don't want to grow up and they don't want to eat and they don't want to drink, then you're going to have immaturity, which is the snake nature, and it's going to bring strife and rivalry. And that's what it does. Okay? So he says this. He goes, so don't test the avenging power of Christ. Okay? The devil causes the offense because he knows once they fall out of Christ and they fall into the state of wickedness, they're not going to be able to overcome because they can't fulfill the law. So temptation's going to get worse, testing's going to get worse, the afflictions are going to be too hard, especially if they're young Christians, they won't be able to come back from the afflictions because it's too much for them. And they don't know how to feed, they don't know how to eat, they don't know how to drink, they don't know how to, and they don't trust no one no more. They don't like the church that turned on, so they don't know where to go. And they're going everywhere and they're not getting fed. Why? Because they've got to come into the group and the tribe that was where they've been birthed. How it works. They've got to stay connected. You can't be, says if you've got a problem with your brother or your sister, leave your gift at the altar and go and make amends so they can be rejoined back to the body. That's what the Bible says. No one's ever called me, but just saying. Okay. All right. In his mind and judgment, to try whether a thing, thank God we've got the spirit of wisdom and thank God that we have him now for this era because, yeah, we're going to need it. Yep, God wishes that none shall perish, okay? To try whether a thing can be done and endeavor. Okay, that's what it means, to test, to put to the test, okay? So that's the one layer that I've just talked about. And the other is like, I tempt, which means to be crafty or to test one maliciously or to solicit them into sin or to or examine and cause them to be examined, okay? He's saying that, don't tempt those who are under the word to give proof of his perfectness or his perfection. Don't test the word or those who are under the word to give proof of his perfection. Because what he's saying is if you tempt and you've gone out into a trial, you've gone out into an affliction, then you're putting him to test because you belong to him, so he has to prove his authority over the devil and over and in front of everyone. So he has to come after you, the one, he goes after the one, right? Leaves the 99. So he has to come after you and he has to use his authority, his power, to prove he is perfect. And he uses all of that and he has to use his power to bring you under the word again and for the Lord's purpose, which is to bring you under the word again. Okay, that's his purpose, to bring you back under the word because you went out from him and out from the word and out from the group and into trials, into afflictions. Okay, and you're going to die and be cut off and perish and destroyed forever if you don't come back under the word. And come back in under the word. Amen. Where are we going? Under the word. All right. Where are we going? Under the word. He says, so don't try a believer who is under the word, who is holy and fully and completely biblical. Okay? Because that's going to bring about a judicial trial and it's going to be you against God. Not against the person, that person's under the word and they're completely and wholly under the word, which means they're in Christ, they've got the big light, energized and buzzing because they eat the word and they feed in the word, so they're inside of Christ. You can't see it because it's in the spirit. You maybe can't see it from the world. It says the world can't even understand the things of the spirit. So if they're in the world and they're under the devil, they're looking at you thinking they can't even see the Christ. They don't even know what you're talking about. They don't understand coming under the word, and all of this doesn't mean anything to them. They don't understand. You got to get them into the word and under the word first, and then as you bring them in and under the word and they start to wash them a little bit and you start to feed them a little bit, they start to strengthen up. They start to grow up. They start to get tall. They start to get upright. And then they start to kind of, oh, yeah, this feels good and this is right. Right? And then that's how it is. He goes, but if you know, the world or whoever comes against somebody who is inside of the word like that, all you're doing is bringing a trial upon yourself, and it's you against God, not the person. Okay, and it's the same for a believer who's given themselves over to idolatry. Okay, over to an image. So God against the idol, to show his power, he has to go against the idol, whatever that idol is. If it's in the way of God, If it's in the way of you coming back under the word, it's going to go. He's going to use and show how perfect he is because he's perfect. He doesn't need our help. He's going to prove his perfectness because he's not a liar. And I'm not a man that I shall lie. Okay? And he said, you shall have no other gods before me, which means no idol, no person, no nothing comes before God. And if any of that stuff is keeping you from being inside of that light being silhouette in your group, in your community, and under the word, it's going to be taken. It's going to go. Okay? That's what he does. Because that's how he, and he'll use his authority and his power to make it happen. Okay? For your own sake, so he can achieve his purpose, which is to bring you back into safety, bring you back into the word, which is safety. Okay? Out there, it's not safe. It's destruction and it's hell and it's the law and you'll never make it. You're going to perish and be cut off forever. So he's lost sheep. He goes back for you, brings you back under the word. You get cleaned up a little bit. You start to strengthen up. You start to wake up again. You start to see. You become possessed with light. You get nourished, well nourished. And you're like, whoa, what the? And then you remember what Paul said. We only wrote the accounts of this. Don't get idols. Don't be sexually immoral, which means be unfaithful to Christ, which means not under the word, not putting the word first, not inside of Christ. Other things have become more important. Don't do those things because what happens to those people? He's already told us. We fall, right? You fall. Okay, Matthew 4:8. Again, the devil then took him up to a very high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the splendor. So to tempt to make an idol, okay, that's what he's done. So he's taken Jesus up now to the mountain and he's saying, and he's tempting Jesus to make the world and all of the kingdoms and everything that looks fancy and good out there, make it an idol. Put them before God. Matthew 4:10 says, away from me, Satan, which means to depart and come under me. Away from me, Satan. It means to depart from and to come under me. Okay, come under the word. It is written, worship the Lord your God and worship me and him alone, or worship him alone shall you serve, and him alone shall you serve, sorry. So he says, come under the word, Satan, get away from me and come under the word, which means come back under the word, Satan. Okay, and what's he saying? Again, used by devil. We've talked about the snakes and the serpents and, you know, those people are now being used by the devil. The thoughts and the deeds of that God, of that world, is the people of the world. That's what he's saying. That's what the Bible says. So he says to the people as well, come back under the word, Satan. Stop being used by the devil. Come back under the word. Get away from me. And come back under the word. Okay? It has been written that you will worship the Lord your God. It's the law. It's been passed. You don't have a choice. Okay? It's written. You're engrafted into the word. Okay? So come back under the word. It has been written. You're engrafted in the word, in the law. And you will worship the Lord God only. And him alone you will serve. It says, Matthew 4:10, you will serve. Lat rio. It means somebody hired to accomplish a technical task, meaning nobody else can do it. It's a technical task, a special task, to because you're qualified, it says. Because you're qualified, because you've been rendered acceptable for service, specifically qualified, specifically equipped. A hired servant to serve and to minister, to perform sacred services and to offer gifts. Okay? What are the gifts? Pastors, prophets, apostles, evangelists, teachers. Okay? So we you offer the gifts anyway. And then the devil left him once he used his authority, right? So he said, depart from me and come under the word, which means to come under this law. Come under the upright law of Jesus, you you will worship the Lord and you will only serve the Lord. And when he decreed that, he spoke that, he declared that. When he did that, the devil left him, and then the angels came and they attended to Jesus, which means they ministered to him, or it says there that they started kicking up the dust. Okay? Wait at a table or caring for the needs of the Lord. Don't tempt means always bring the devil under authority. Okay? In faith in the Lord, lest we think it's us. Lest we think that it's us that's making us stand. Lest we think that it's us that we don't need to tell the devil to come under the word. We don't have, you know, if we start to think that we don't need to decree and declare the word, then we're doing it in our own strength. It's only the word. Come under the word. Only the word of God will be established. Only the word of God will establish you and make you strength, and make you full of strength, make you full of power, and give you your authority. Without it, you have no authority. You fall into wickedness. You come under the law. You come under and be used by the devil. Sly, malicious, cunning. Start operating like that. And, you know, unless you're restored back to the body, you stay out there. And if you do stay out there, you completely perish forever for eternity. There's no hope of getting you to get the messianic kingdom. You don't partake in it. Okay? That's what he's saying. So serve, which means to minister to me, perform sacred services, eat my word, drink, eat, drink, eat, drink, eat, drink. That's ministering to the Lord. The angels come and then they're waiting at a table, which is the table of the Lord. The table's in you. Okay? Caring for the needs of the Lord. They come, the Lord's inside of you, the devil's left, the angels come to minister to the Lord who's withered down in you because you haven't fed. You haven't eaten, you haven't drunk. The angels come and minister to the Lord. Okay? They're all ministering to you, even when you stand, and then they go and do the work. All right. So we bring the devil under authority. Amen? So that we don't fall and that we're not cut off and destroyed like the 23,000 in a day. All right. Eat and drink, eat and drink. Hope you liked this meal. Keep eating, keep drinking, get strong again, get back in the body, know what you're doing. Get your eyes open, possessed of sight, and then you'll see, you know, you understand that, okay? And then you take heed and you perceive and be possessed of light. You start to watch for that stuff. Am I taking credit? Am I thinking that I'm causing myself to make it, to make myself stand? Am I chasing after something, lusting after, prostituting my body to lust after something in this earth? The Lord's in me. Am I prostituting out my body when I've got the Lord in me who wants me to eat the word? If I'm eating the word and I'm drinking the word, I won't want to do those other things. I won't. I won't be unfaithful to Christ. Faithful to Christ is eating the word and drinking. That makes me faithful. That makes me stand. That makes me an authority. That makes me minister the word. When I stop eating and drinking, I stop doing those things, and then I'm going over into the world. I'm looking for something over here. I'm being enticed and pulled this way. Yeah, that crouching beast sitting at the entrance door. Okay, eating and drinking is what keeps you safe. Eating and drinking is what keeps you upstanding. And childish people don't want to do that. They want to eat a little bit, drink a little bit, then think they can go play in the world, but it's very detrimental, he says. It's actually causes you to die, and you may die in the wilderness, okay, because a lot of the leaders aren't coming for you out there. They're still in here doing what they want to do, you know. So we don't die in the wilderness anymore. We're coming back, we're eating and we're drinking, and we're getting strong again so we can help other people. That's your purpose, getting people back inside the body. Amen. God bless you guys. God keep you till next time.